who is Krishna, but an expansion of Krishna. You will understand how there's no difference between the expansions of Krishna and Krishna himself. Just like there's no difference between candles that have been lit by the first candle. Still, there is the original, and Krishna is the original. Lord Ram has a different flavor than Krishna. Lord Ram's activities are of royal opulence. Awe and reverence. Lord Ram demonstrated the qualities of an ideal king, as well as an ideal householder. Krishna's pastimes there in Vrindavan, they're sweeter and more intimate, whereas Lord Ram's pastimes are very regal. So as soon as everyone comes, we'll speak of something from Ram Leela. How long? Ramchandra's appearance today, as much as possible, devotees should gather to hear about Lord Ram. Who else is not here? Well, what should we do?
Please give a class.
But not everyone is here. I'm eager to speak of Lord Ram. From the external point of view, it can appear that Lord Ram's pastimes are suffering, the separation from Sita Devi. But actually, this is just the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoying what it's like to be separated from the Beloved. For Krishna, everything is pleasurable, even separation. Even exile, as Lord Ram went into exile. The pastimes of Lord Ram teach us a lot about determination. They teach us about honor, integrity. You see, one of Krishna's opulences, his six opulences, is renunciation, detachment. Krishna is unlimitedly deep in wealth, and he's also unlimitedly deep in detachment from wealth. So, in Ram Leela, you get to see the Supreme Personality of God, his detachment. How Lord Ram walked away from being emperor of the earth without the slightest anxiety. We like to point out, suppose you were going to be appointed tomorrow morning as the mayor of Manchester. We're not even speaking of emperor of the world, but it's the mayor of Manchester. And the night before the great event, you were asked to leave the country for 14 years. How would you feel? Leave the country for 14 years with no contact with the people. How would you feel? But Lord Ram did that without the slightest anxiety, simply because his father asked. And certainly it was most painful for his father. All right, all's here that's going to be here. We're going to read from the Ramayana, from the point where Maharaj Dasarath, Lord Ram's father, is thinking of retiring and putting his beloved son Ram in charge. All four sons, Ram, Bharata, Shatrughna, Lakshman, they're Vishnu Tattva. They're all the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Ram is the main expansion of the group. That was a very interesting situation. All four brothers were the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes people make the mistake thinking, oh, you worship many gods. No. Vaishnavism is completely monotheistic, but we accept that the Lord can expand not only into parts and parcels like us, but he can also expand into other Supreme Personalities of Godhead. It's like, I remember, I think, a couple of weeks ago when I was speaking at one of the guest nights, and there was one Indian young lady there, and she was explaining to one of the guests that, oh, I'm a Hindu, and we believe in many gods. Mm-hmm. Neither of the statements are true, of course. Still, people can get confused. How is this Ram, Lakshman, Shatrughna, Bharata? They're all Vishnu Tattva. They're all the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can it be? Just remember, the cause of all causes. When Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, Matya Sarvam Pravartate, I'm the cause, everything comes from me. Krishna means everything, even other expansions. From Krishna expand other Supreme Personalities of Godhead. That is the complete greatness of the Supreme Lord. Not to simply expand into the tiny, but also to expand into the infinite. From Krishna, in other words, the infinite expands into the infinite. Not simply the infinite expands into tiny parts. From the complete whole, you get other complete wholes, and you also get parts. Still remember, Krishna is the cause of all causes. In this part of Ram Lila we're reading, you'll get to feel palace intrigue, the sudden reversals of the material world, jealousy, envy. And the disasters that jealousy and envy cause. Of course, bear in mind that all these incidents, they're arranged by Krishna's pastime energy for his pleasure, although it does seem like suffering. All the incidents of the pastime are unfolding in that particular way in order to enhance the drama of the pastime, enhance the suspense, to enhance the feeling of separation between the beloveds. Remember, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So as Lord Ram, the Lord is enjoying what it's like to live in separation from his dear consort Sita. The aging Dasarath, thinking of his retirement, gradually entrusted more and more of the state affairs to Ram and Lakshman. Those two princes, along with their wives, served the king in every way. So they were ideal Kshatriyas, Vedic warriors. They knew all the martial arts, military science, as well as how to have the best character. And Lord Ram was the treasure of the whole kingdom. Everyone loved Lord Ram. Everyone loved him for his abilities, for his personal qualities, humble, mild, self-controlled. The ideal personality. That is God, the ideal personality, the perfect personality. Because we don't think perfect personalities are possible, it's hard for us to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we would rather think impersonality is perfection. Some all-pervading white light, some all-pervading oneness without variety and distinction. We think, oh, that must be the perfection. Because we can't conceive of perfect personality. But in Ram Leela, you hear about the perfect qualities of Lord Ram, the perfect abilities. Everybody wanted Lord Ram to be installed as emperor. Not only his father, but all the people in the kingdom. There was just no doubt about it. The first thing Dasarath did was consult the royal astrologers. At that time, these previous yugas, these previous Vedic millenniums, astrologers were much more potent than they are now. So Dasarath Maharaj asked them, what's a favorable time for the coronation? And what did the astrologers see? They saw dreadful signs in the heavens, indicators that some huge calamity was going to occur soon. So what did Dasarath Maharaj think? These omens must surely be referring to my imminent death. He's an old man. That's the only thing he can think of. So he decided, let's perform the coronation immediately. Let's get a jump on all these inauspicious omens that are happening. And we'll perform the coronation. Why not tomorrow? And that way we can get around the storm, astrological storm that's blowing through. You know, sometimes when there's bad weather, you want to get what you have to get done real quick. So Dasarath Maharaj was thinking like that. We'll have the coronation real quick. Some auspicious signs are coming. The way, however, things are unfolding produce complications. Dasarath forgot to invite a particular king whom his two other sons, Bharat and Shatrughna, had gone to help out. This king was the father of Kausalya, one of Dasarath's wives. So Dasarath had asked that these two sons of his go to help the father of their mother. You see, it's common for, especially of such a powerful regent, powerful ruler as Dasarath, to have more than one wife. It's normal for Kshatriyas, for Vedic warriors. They could have as many as they could take care of. Which was good for ladies, because otherwise so many ladies wouldn't have such a qualified husband. This forgetting to contact this king, where the two other sons were, this would cause complications, or some really reinforced complications. In other words, some other destiny is unfolding. So just bear that in the back of your minds. Only Ram and Lakshman, those two sons, were there in Ayodhya, the capital city. The other two, Bharata and Shatrughna, they were off. And remember, these boys, these sons, they're coming from different wives. Later, Dasharatha realized, oh, I forgot to ask that king to come where my boys, my other two boys, are visiting. Anyway, they won't be able to get here in time. We're going to have the coronation tomorrow. Everyone loves Ram. They won't mind. He was right to think that way. So, now, Dasharatha Maharaj is going to consult the Brahmanas. And he's saying, with your permission, I desire to place Ram at the head of the state. Let us have the ceremony tomorrow. So all the ministers, all the kings, they agreed, yes, there's none more qualified than Ram. He possesses every desirable quality. So the whole assembly was filled with delight to hear that Ram would be made king. And how did they respond to Dasharatha Maharaja's presentation? They made a thunderous sound all together. Let it be so, let it be so. Let Ram be coronated. The leader of the Brahmanas stepped forward and said to Dasharatha Maharaja, you have so long protected us with love, O king. Now you have a worthy son and can retire peacefully. We pray that you install Ram as prince regent, for he alone deserves to be your successor. We long to see Ram riding on the great royal elephant, his head shielded by the white umbrella. So upon hearing the assembly of princes and kings and ministers unanimously agreed to Ram's installation, Dasharatha's eyes filled with tears. The decision was confirmed. So then, everybody dispersed from the assembly with a loud clamor, shouting, victory to Ram! Jai Ram! Jai Ram! Still, that night, Dasharatha was thinking about the astrological predictions. And he called for Ram and spoke to him in private. And he said, he thought the astrological predictions, Dasharatha, as I said, he thought they were for him, that he was going to die any moment. So he called Ram to his private quarters and embraced him and said, I've done all I can do in this life. All that remains for me to do is to install you as my successor. Dasharatha clasped Ram close to his bosom. The king's body trembled and his eyes shed tears. He desperately longed for his son to succeed him. At last it was imminent. Surely no evil destiny could prevent it now. Wouldn't even the gods desire to see this magnificent prince become the king? So then Dasharatha Maharaj told his son Ram, I've seen some bad stars. I've had many bad dreams. Seeing all these bad omens, we have to do your installation swiftly before any problems arise. At sunrise tomorrow, we shall commence the installation ceremony. So everything looks like it's going to roll. Throughout the kingdom, the news of Ram's installation spreads. The temples are full of people making offerings and worshiping the demigods. You see, it's fine to worship demigods for the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Lord. But to worship demigods as if they are entities unto themselves, that is forbidden. There's a festival everywhere in the city. The whole city is decorated. No one could wait for sunrise, and the ceremony would begin. Now, so you've got this picture of the joy, the whole city decked out, everyone wonderfully ecstatic. Ram, our beloved Ram, will be coronated king tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You can just imagine how their hearts were throbbing with joy to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramchandra, running their government. One who is perfect in all qualities, perfect in all activities, perfect in knowledge. Now let's switch to the palace of one of Dasarath's wives. Here's where the problem is going to manifest. Being, as I said, a powerful emperor, warrior, Dasarath Maharaj naturally had more than one wife. So, all these wives loved Ram as their own son. There was never any disharmony. In fact, the wives loved Ram better than their own sons. And they would often say that Ram treated them better than their own sons treated them. You know, all the children were related as half brother, half sister. Same father, different wives. But all the different wives said, Ram treats me better than my own son. And all the wives loved Ram better than their own son, which is, it shows you the power of Lord Ram. How attractive he is. This is one thing you have to remember. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all attractive. Still, let's go into the palace of the youngest wife of King Dasarath, Kaikeyi. Here's where the problem's going to start. Now, Kaikeyi, the king's youngest queen, had a hunchback servant named Mantara. So, Mantara, she didn't know what was going on. She looked and saw the huge celebration beginning, and she went to Ram's former nurse, you know, nurse meaning when he was a baby. And she asked, what's going on? Why is everyone so delighted? Is there going to be a big sacrifice? And then the nurse, her face full of happiness, told Mantara about the king's decision to install Ram the very next morning. She said, tomorrow, under favorable stars, our Lord Dasarath will give to the sinless Ram the office of Prince Regent. What greater occasion for joy could there be? What was Mantara's reaction? She was immediately seized with anger. Disaster. Why would Mantara think that? Because her master, Kaikeyi, was the favorite wife of the king. She was the youngest one. And because Kaikeyi was the favorite wife of the king, Mantara, as her assistant, got so many perks and prestige and even though she was a hunchback lady, she really had a lot of influence. She had a lot of, she really was getting so many benefits. She was the senior maidservant of Kaikei, and the emperor particularly liked her master, her mistress. And so Mantara was really, a big deal in that way, because she's the maidservant of the king's favorite wife. And as a hunchback, you can imagine, the other servants were probably making jokes about her. But now that her mistress, Kaikei, had become the top queen in the palace, the other servants had to respect her. They see all these emotions happening. Now, Ram, he's the son of Dasara's oldest, most senior wife, Kausalya, whereas Kaikei's the youngest one. So, men always like young ladies. So, Kaikei had she was the pet, whereas Kausalya was the senior veteran. Mantara, the hunchbacked maidservant of Kaikei, when she heard the news, she immediately ran to Kaikei's room. These are the dynamics. She's going to stir it up now. She found the queen lying on a couch. So Mantara, with her face red, she began to address her mistress in harsh tones. Kaikei was at first kind of like, a bit amused, like, what's the big deal? What's going on? What did Mantara say? This is how it all starts. Get up, foolish woman! How can you lay there when calamity stares you in the face? You languish here at ease, even as a flood of misery sweeps towards you. Thoroughly neglected by your husband, you are now threatened with utter ruin. Kaikei looked affectionately at her servant. Mantara had been her childhood nurse, and Kaikei saw her like her own mother. The queen had not heard the news about Ram, and so she inquired from Mantara, "Pray tell me, what causes you sorrow at this time? You seem sorely afflicted." Mantara became even more incensed upon hearing Kaikei's question. She replied in a low voice, trembling with anger, "There is no doubt that disaster now threatens us both. With your destruction will come mine, as much as with your good fortune rests mine. I am therefore saying this only for your benefit." She grabbed Kaikei's hand, trying to impress upon her mistress the obvious facts as she saw them. Now listen to the way she speaks and starts to agitate the mind of Kaikei. She's got her hand. "Although born in a royal line, you seem ignorant of the ways of kings. A king will speak sweet words to a person while at the same time planning their destruction. The emperor has acted as your beloved spouse while performing deeds which will ruin you to your very roots." What was Kaikei's response now? Kaikei looked at Mantara curiously. Mantara's eyes blazed as she continued. You want to make blazing eyes? "Having sent your own son Bharata away to a distant kingdom, this wicked king now plans to install Ram as prince regent. What greater misfortune could there be for you?" That was Kaikei's reaction. She smiled. She loved Ram as much as her own dear son. And Ram looked upon Kaikei as being equal to his own mother, Kausalya. She felt a surge of joy upon hearing Mantara's report. "Ram's going to be king? Oh, great!" She couldn't understand why Mantara was disturbed. And the fact was, if anyone else had spoke about his father, Dasharatha, in such a way, Kaikeyi would have them punished. But Kaikeyi was accustomed to Munter's sullen disposition. Munter was often angry and, you know, went over the top about things in her verbal expressions, so Kaikeyi was used to that, so she didn't take it so seriously. What did she do? She took from her neck a necklace of brilliant diamonds set in gold and handed it to her servant and said, "You have brought me the best news I've ever heard in my life. Ram is going to be king. I wish to reward you. Take this gift and tell me that if there's anything else I can do for you." Obviously, Kaikeyi wasn't tuned in as Munter wanted her to be. What did Munter do? She takes the necklace and throws it down. "This is no occasion for joy, foolish lady. What strange fame of mine has seized upon you? An ocean of grief threatens to overwhelm you, and yet you stand here smiling? Your son, your stepson, Ram, will be king, while your own son is left aside. Your own son, Bharat, will be left aside. Ram will see Bharat as his enemy. Lakshman only serves Ram, and Shatrughna serves your son, Bharat. Therefore, there's going to be a split between Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna. My mind quakes with fear to think of the danger to your son from the powerful Ram once he's king." Munthara's eyes grew bloodshot with fury, and her face whitened as she spoke. Why was Kaikeyi not understanding? Kaikeyi still didn't see the threat. I mean, she knew her position in the palace. The older wife, Ram's mother, had long been snubbed by the king in favor of the young Kaikeyi, so there's nothing to, you know, there was no anxiety. Everything was under control. That's what Kaikeyi, you know, she had no reason to fear her position. Yeah, let Ram be king. Wonderful. We all love him. Still, Munthara goes on. "You must do something. This is a great disaster. Once the crown has passed to the other side of your family, you will in time see your own side sink into oblivion, bereft of royal fortune." Still, hearing her servant talk like this, Kaikeyi started thinking of Ram even more. The ocean of all perfect qualities. He would never have any ill will towards Bharat. He always acts in perfect accord with religious principles. He's devoted to truth, disciplined, and always kind. He deserves to be king. And surely after he's king, he'll look after his younger brothers like a father. She began to chide Munthara. "You've got no reason to feel such distress. That looks good, huh?" Things are moving right along. Kaikeyi's just not listening. "So, oh, Ram's going to be king. How nice. Surely he's going to take care of his younger brothers. Everyone knows that." So Kaikeyi told Munthara, "This is an occasion for rejoicing. You should by no means be in grief, my dear maidservant, nor should you think ill of Ram. My son Bharata will be in no danger from Ram, and in the future he may well succeed him to the throne. There's no need for lamentation." But Munthara, she was still pressing, because she's thinking, if my mistress is the mother of the king, my own position will be improved. So she had greed and envy. And she was considering that Dasharath Maharaj was acting out of same kind of motivations. So she went on and on, preaching to Kaikeyi with rancor. surely it is due only to stupidity that you fail to see your impending doom, oh deluded woman. Ram will be king, and after him will come his own son to be king. Bart will have nothing. And in fact, I can foresee that Ram will even banish your son, maybe even sending him to the next world, meaning maybe even killing him. You and your line will be lost and forgotten. I am here to awaken you to this great peril that has now arrived at your door. Do not disregard me. So, Munter, she was just... her ego was so inflated, she didn't want to lose her position as top servant in the palace. So she kept presenting argument after argument to her mistress. And she's also using psychology. Even though everything was harmonious in the palace, still there's naturally some rivalry between the ladies. So Manjara is really working that one over. You are the favorite wife, remember. But if Kaushalya's son becomes king, you'll lose your position as being the favorite. So she's working that really hard. It was hard to do, though, because Kaikeyi had such deep affection for Ram. So the discussion went back and forth. But gradually, Muntura began to change Kaikeyi's mind. Her arguments began to sway Kaikeyi, and Kaikeyi's intelligence started to become confused. She loved Ram, but she began to consider, maybe it's true. His installation isn't an injustice. Of course, this is also the arrangement of the pastime energy of the Lord. All this is going on, actually, for the pastimes of Lord Ram and their pleasure. But it looks very distressing, and it is. I mean, this is really happening. And then what did Muntura see? She saw in Kaikeyi's face, she's wavering. She's starting to listen to me. She grabbed the queen's hands again. There is a way that we can avoid this destruction. If Ram is sent to the forest and your son Bart is installed as king in his place, then everything will be safe and fine. Mantara is very clever, so she thought of a strategy. Listen. Here's what you do. So do you remember? Some time ago, you told me a story. You were on the battlefield with your husband, and he became severely wounded. And he was wounded on a battlefield in which at nighttime, as the wounded lay there, a hideous demon would come and devour the bodies of warriors still on the battlefield. So at that time, seeing the danger to Dasarath, Kaikeyi, she's a Kshatriya lady, so she rode out on a chariot and rescued her husband. So what did Dasarath do upon waking up, becoming conscious again from his wounds and seeing how his wife had rescued him from the battlefield? He offered her two benedictions. But what did Kaikeyi say? Not now, not now. Later in the future. So Muntara reminds Kaikeyi, you've got those two benedictions. The king promised you to give you whatever you wanted. Twice. Now the time has come to ask for those two benedictions. Number one, tell the king banish Ram to the forest. Number two, tell him to make your son Bharat the king. In this way, we shall both be saved. Now Kaikeyi is under her influence. Despite her love for her husband and her attachment for Ram, she was upset. How could the king have treated me in such a way? He's always so loving and kind. Was he just putting on a show to win my favor? She began to feel angry. You see how the mind changes now. The king might have spoken so many sweet words to her, but it was obvious by his favor that it was obvious that he favored Kaushalya. She's actually the favorite one, Kaikeyi, the youngest wife, but her mind has been shifted. It's just a show. He actually likes Kaushalya better, the oldest wife. Now the whole situation is clear. Dasarath is neglecting me and favoring the son of Kaushalya. Now we're completely on the mundane female platform. Kaikeyi heaves a deep sigh. Yes, Mantara, your suggestion is appropriate. I shall, at this very moment, go before the king and ask him, now's the time for those two benedictions. Mantara's mind just overflowed with cunning. She began to cavilate even more. You should ask Ram. Excuse me. You should ask Bharata that Ram. No, you should ask Dasarath that Ram be banished for no less than 14 years. Give Bharat your son 14 years as king, and the people will love him and forget all about Ram. Now Mantara knew that Bharata would never allow himself to be king in Ram's presence, and the people wouldn't allow it either. Bharata was so humble, he would not accept such an arrangement. So therefore Ram had to be banished. They had to get Ram out of the picture, because there's no way Bharata would agree to be king, or the people would agree if Ram was around. So Mantara continued, do not allow Ram to remain in the kingdom. By his power and influence, he'll seize the throne, even if Bharat is crowned. Your son has been away a long time, while Ram has been here winning the hearts of the people. He must be sent away. Ram must be sent away. Plan's not over yet, though. Kaikeyi's listening with full attention now. He's taking it all in. And Mantara comes out with the details to the plan. Here's how you approach your husband, the king. It's sulking time. You see, in Vedic culture, there's a way that the wife officially sulks. You know, shows that she's in a bad mood. There's a whole protocol, you know. So, it's very interesting. Everything is there in Vedic culture, even the prescribed way for the wife to indicate to the husband, I'm really ticked off. So, what did Kaikeyi do? She puts on soil. Mantara tells her, you put on soiled garments and go to the sulking chamber. Those of your householders, make sure you have a sulking chamber built in the house. This is all very cultural. So, you know, when the husband knows that the wife's in the sulking chamber, he knows, oh. There's actually a room, a sulking room for the wife, you know, where she can just get on the mental. And the husband, you know, all the husband has to do is hear, she's in the sulking room. Come up with something real quick, you know, oh my God. So it's part of Vedic culture. In other words, how can these Vedic cultures always arranging for things to go on in the most appropriate way. How to deal with things in a way that... allows people to progress in their life. So, all right. People sulk. Wives get on their mental. So there should be a sulking room. Go in the sulking room and get over it. And in that way, the husband, you know, he everything is clearly communicated to him. Otherwise, men, they have a very difficult time understanding female emotions. But if the wife's in the sulking room, if the message is loud and clear, you're in trouble. That's a perfect erasure. That's why the man doesn't have to speculate, you know, this and that. And, you know, the whole day isn't wasted, you know. Each one trying to figure out where the other one is at and what the other one's really thinking. The man right away knows. Oh, she's in the sulking room. So, Muntara told Kaikei how to really get into it. Put on soiled garments, go to the sulking chamber, lie down on the bare floor with your ornaments cast about and your hair in disarray, lay there weeping. Y'all, you should try this. Get the full picture. Your hair is in disarray, ornaments cast about, laying on a bare floor, wearing soiled garments. There you are in the sulking chamber. So then Muntara explained, "You know, Dasaratha has special affection for you, his youngest and most beautiful wife. He'll never be able to handle your sullen mood. He won't be able to ignore your order. For your sake, he would enter fire and even give up his life. Using the power of your charms, you will easily achieve your ends, oh beautiful lady." What was Kaikei's reaction? Clenching her fists, she sat on her bed, which was spread with a pure white silk sheet. "Muntara's right! The king likes me for something. It may just be my beauty and charms, but that's something. Tonight he's going to be in for a surprise." So Kaikei fully got into it. So Muntara continues to advise you. "When the king sees you distraught, he will pick you up and offer you anything. He'll present priceless gems, pearls, in order to pacify you. Do not become distracted from your goal of banishing Ram. Insist upon the two benedictions given to you long ago by your husband. Ask for those benedictions now, O Queen. Demand the exile of Ram and the coronation of Bharat." So, Kaikei accepted her advice. Although by nature she's kind, gentle, and wise, she lost her good sense under the influence of her envious maidservant. Shows you the power of association. How one person can get another person completely on the mental platform. It's a very great lesson. Kaikei wouldn't believe her at first, but now Kaikei is fully under the influence. "You have given me good counsel, Muntara, O wise woman. I have been cheated by the king. You have acted as my well-wisher by warning me of impending doom. When my son Bharat is made king, I shall give you so many boons and so much wealth." Now Muntara has what she wants. So Muntara smiled and urged Kaikei, "Make haste, make haste. Quickly go to your inner rooms, for the king will shortly come for his evening visit to you." Every evening, because Kaikei was the favorite wife, the king would come to her apartment. See, the ladies had their own section of the palace, their own apartments, and the king, he would come there to visit. So Taikei prepared herself. She went into the sulking chamber. She threw herself on the floor. And she vowed to Muntara, either Ram is exiled and Bharat made king, or I shall remain here in this state, taking neither food or water. If my desire is not fulfilled, I will die. So there you have it. Taikei laying on the beautiful floor, her ornaments scattered, her hair in disarray, her garland crushed, her face dark with rage. She tossed about on the bare floor, sobbing. Meanwhile, what's Dasarath doing? And tomorrow morning, Ram will be king. Great gala celebration. Oh, he's just so happy. So, confident that all the arrangements for the morning's events were underway, he went towards his favorite wife's rooms for their evening rendezvous. Describe that the glorious monarch entered Kaikei's excellent apartment as the moon might enter the sky at night, spreading its beautiful rays. The palace was so opulent, filled with hundreds of well-dressed maidservants. Opulent furniture everywhere, drapes, gold, silver, silk, finest carpets, just the epitome of opulence. Everywhere there were gold and crystal dishes with first-class food of every variety spread out on golden tables. So Dasarath walked through the palace very quickly, past all the guards, because there were armed guards at the doors to the ladies' quarters. And at the inner doors, there were lady guards, lady servants. They folded their hands in respect to the king. And at last, the king entered Taikei's personal quarters, expecting to see her lying on her bed. He was surprised. Where is my beloved spouse? She usually meets me at this time. He called out for her, Taikei! Taikei! No reply. What happened? He searched, and he found her doorkeeper, and asked, where's my wife? With a dejected face, the doorkeeper told the king, Taikei, he has entered the sulking chamber in an angry mood. Every house needs one, every temple needs one. The king thought, this is very strange. He entered the sulking room, and what did he see? Taikei on the floor in a sorry and disheveled state. Dasarath, he looked sadly upon his youngest queen, who was dearer to him than his life. He didn't know that in her heart she had a wicked and sinful desire. What's the first thing he would do? He put her on his lap, stroking her tear-streaked face, speaking softly, your anger is surely not meant for me, who only wishes for your unending happiness. Tell me, O gentle lady, by whom have you been insulted or rebuked, so that now you lie here rolling in the dust? Who deserves punishment today at my hands? Or do you wish me to release someone who deserves to be punished? By whom have you been offended, or whom would you seek to oblige? No answer. She didn't even look at him. Dasarath felt tormented as he sought to appease her. If you are sick, I'll call the royal physicians who will quickly heal your pain.
Speak out about whatever's wrong. Allow me to make amends.
Solution. I can by no means tolerate your distress, and I'll do any work which pleases you. This earth with all its wealth belongs to me. What shall I give you today? Please rise up and tell me the source of your sorrow. Now, Kaikei is starting to get a bit encouraged when she's hearing her husband say, I'll give you anything. The whole earth's at my disposal. She realizes, yes, now's the good time. He's ready to do anything I say. Okay, now I'll drop the bomb. Seeing that her husband was deeply moved by love for her, Kaikei spoke in strained tones.
I have not been insulted or offended by anyone, O king. There is something, however, I wish you to accomplish. Make me a solemn vow that you'll fulfill my desire, and then I'll tell you what it is.
Dasara placed her head upon his lap and straightened her hair. He's going right into the trap. He smiled at her and said, except for my son Ram, there is none in this world more dear to me than you. I swear by the invincible Ram, dearer to me than my life, that I shall satisfy your cherished desire. By that very Ram, for whom separation would surely end my life, I swear to carry out your order. Indeed, by Ram, who I would exchange for my own life, my other sons, and the entire earth, I promise to do your bidding. Therefore, O good lady, please reveal your mind to me. So three times he had said it, swearing on Ram, by my very son Ram, who is dearer to me than my own life, I will do what you say. He had said it three times. I swear to carry out your order by Ram. I'm taking a vow on Ram. He did it three times. So Kaikei knows Vedic culture. He said it three times. He has to keep his promise now. And he doesn't even know what he's promising he's going to do. So then she said it. She said something which was like death arriving at Dasara's door. Said, let all the demigods witness your promise. You are the highly glorious emperor, always true to your word, and you know what's right. You've given me your promise. Looking intently at her husband, because Dasara's starting like, what's going on here? Kaikei says, do you remember, O king, how I saved your life on the battlefield? Do you remember? You offered me two benedictions. Now's the time. I want those benedictions. Give them to me now, or you'll see me die this very day. So, under the powerful sway of passion, he's got her head on his lap, he's smoothing back her hair, and, you know, the tears are streaking down her face. And so he's got that pressure, and then he's got the pressure of his own promise. Dasara, like a deer stepping into a snare, made ready to accord the two boons to his queen. So Kaikei said, boon number one, let my son Bharat be installed as the prince regent in Ram's place. Boon number two, exile Ram to the forest for 14 years. Then she said, be true to your promise, O king of kings. And this way, your race will be cloaked with everlasting glory. What was Dasara's reaction? He looked at his wife in complete disbelief. It's like he was seized by a heart attack. This can't be happening. Am I actually hearing her say like this? Or is it all a bad dream? Maybe, he was thinking, maybe something I had experienced in a former life was returning as a vivid hallucination, you know, flashback or something like that. Maybe I'm losing my sanity. How could Kaikei have made such a request? She always had shown deep affection for Ram. Considering her words again and again, Dashrath became overpowered by grief and just fainted. He had the most powerful warrior, emperor of the world. He's fainted upon hearing these words. And then he regained consciousness. And what did he see? Kaikei still sitting there with a stern expression. Like Dashrath was, he went unconscious. And then, like, you know, he's hoping this is just a dream. It's going to go away. And he came to consciousness again, and they looked at her face, and she's serious business. So now, Dashrath Maharaj is sitting on the bare floor. Alas, he's going out. What a calamity. And he fainted again. Again, he came back to consciousness, but now he's getting furious. He's a Kshatriya. He's a warrior. He knows this is totally off. This is outrageous. This is the worst thing I've heard in my life. He's wondering, what's going on with Kaikei? She's revealing a side of her nature he had never seen before. Every man, you may know what that feels like. I've never seen this side of you before. But now it's too late. He roared at Kaikei as if he was going to consume her with his blazing wrath. Oh, cruel and wicked woman, it seems you are set upon the destruction of my dynasty. What harm have Ram and I ever done you? Why are you bent on bringing ruin to me at such a time? I didn't know it, but all this while, whenever I held you, I was holding to my chest a venomous snake. How can I give up Ram? The whole human race extols his glories. I can give up my wives, my kingdom, my own life, but I can never part with Ram. And he just stopped, too shocked to continue. He began to consider, I've always been so kind to Kaikei. How could she hurt me in this way? Doesn't she understand her request is going to kill me? So he spoke to her with tears in his eyes. The world may exist without the sun, but I cannot remain in my body without seeing Ram. Give up your sinful desire, O beautiful lady. Then he began to beg. I place my head upon your feet. I beg you to be gracious to me. And he's actually holding on to her feet, gazing into her face. But what is Kaikei doing? Iron-faced, no mercy. Still, the king continued to beg her. If you feel that I've slighted your son Bharat, let him be king in place of Ram. But don't send Ram to the forest. I can't believe that you have developed a dislike for Ram. On so many occasions before, you told me of your love for Ram. Surely an evil spirit has possessed you. Then Dashrath began to remember the astrological omens. Maybe his wife, he's thinking, is under the influence of some evil influence. So he began to speak gently. I have seen myself how Ram serves you even more than does your own son, Bharat. Have you not always told me so yourself? Why then do you want Ram exiled to the forest for 14 years? Let him remain here. Let Bharat be king. What objection could you have? He's trying to reason with her. Kaikeyi didn't budge. She had lost her trust in her husband, and she seethed with anger. She thought, he's simply trying to win me over with empty words. But she was not going to be fooled anymore. She remembered Mantara's warning. The king and his beloved Kaushalya were not going to cheat her this time. She would get her boons, no matter what Dasharath said. So Dasharath was just... he was split into two. On the one hand, he loved Ram more than his own life. On the other hand, he had promised. How could he send Ram away? On the other hand, no king in Dasharath's great dynasty had ever broken his promise. This is what he's caught between. Again, he tried to reason with his wife. What will you gain by this? Ram has always been so dedicated to you. He served you so nicely. But still Kaikeyi was unmoved. So the king tried a different approach. He invoked his own love for her. He's trying everything. Oh, Kaikeyi, you should show mercy to me in this. An old worn man, I'm fast approaching the end of my days. I have now been subjected to an unbearable grief in the shape of your harsh words. What do you wish to possess? I can offer you anything that may be had in all of the world. Only ask for your desire and consider it done. Joining my palms, I fall at your feet. Do not banish Ram. Accept my piteous plea and save my life. What was Kaikeyi's reaction? She looked at him coldly. He had fallen weeping to the floor and was tossing about, gripped by an overwhelming agony. But she just looks at him coldly. Can you understand this most powerful warrior, the emperor of the earth, falling weeping to the floor and tossing about on the bare floor? Kaikeyi felt no pity. He prayed again and again. Please, Kaikeyi, please. Nothing. Her heart was hardened and her intelligence was confused. She was fixed in her evil determination. Looking contemptuously at Dasharath, she spoke fiercely. Now it's time for the cutting words. Make things even worse. Oh, noble king, after granting benedictions and failing to fulfill them, how will you again proclaim your piety to the world? When in an assembly of great sages you are asked about your promise, how will you reply? Will you admit that you have proved untruthful to your own dear wife, to whom you owe your very life? Having once granted boons and having again sworn 3 times to fulfill those boons, will you now falsify your word? She's standing there. Now he's on the floor, moaning and tossing about. She's standing there now. She felt cheated. She was angry. He had promised her anything. Now he was trying to back out. The whole outcome confirmed her doubts about his sincerity. He had no intention of giving her what he wanted, what she wanted. Her voice became colder. Oh, King of Kings, what honor will you bring to your dynasty by this action? Oh, foolish king, it seems that at the expense of anything you wish to install Ram as your successor, and you, in this way, will enjoy life with Kaushalya eternally. She was furious. the king was prepared to sacrifice anything for Kalsaya's son, but he cared so little for her. Now her voice is rising to a shout. It doesn't matter whether the promise you made to me was righteous or not. You made a promise. It cannot be withdrawn now. Wrong. If he becomes king, this very day I shall swallow poison and give up my life right before your eyes. I would rather die than see Kalsaya become mother of a king. What was Tussaro's reaction now? He suddenly dropped to the ground like he was struck with a thunderbolt, calling out Ram's name. Ram! 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 Like one insane, he lost his mental balance and lay motionless on the cold floor for a considerable time. Then he gathered his senses again and stood up and spoke in a choked, anguished voice. I cannot believe what you're saying. What's made you so evil? You're like possessed by a demon. He fell back onto a couch. His arms were outstretched towards Kaikeyi, who had again fallen to the floor on hearing her husband's arguments. The king wailed in agony. What am I going to do? What am I going to explain to Kalsaya how I've done such a horrible thing? I always neglected that godly lady Kalsaya in favor of you. He's really saying all the wrong things now. Dasara's mention of Kalsaya only made Kaikeyi more furious. She stared at her husband, her eyes red with anger. Now, Dasarath is relenting. I've just ruined myself by becoming close to you. I've always seen you as my devoted and chaste wife. That was my mistake. Still, Kaikeyi is not swayed. Her anger intensifies. So Dasarath's blaming himself now. Surely the whole world would condemn him for sacrificing his sinless son for the sake of a sinful woman. Thought, this must be because of my karma. How else could this happen? He tried in so many ways to change her mind. There's no way. Then, because Dasarath is a powerful Vedic warrior, he understood. This is the way it's going to be. It's inevitable. So he spoke to his queen in complete dismay. The very moment I asked Ram to leave, and I know he'll do it, being fully obedient to my order, I'll die. And you will gain unending infamy, O lady of wicked resolve. Just thinking of Ram leaving for the forest, Dasarath is just writhing in pain. Now he's seen Kaikeyi as his mortal enemy. Oh, wicked woman, it's a wonder that while you're speaking such cruel words, your teeth don't fall out in a thousand pieces. When Ram goes to the forest, death will surely take me. So Dasarath had no intention of asking Ram to leave, but he knew Ram would leave upon realizing the predicament. So he tried one last desperate plea to Kaikei. So even if upon my failing to exile my son, you then swallow poison, throw yourself into a fire, or hang yourself, I will not banish Rome. You have disgraced your family. You're intent upon destroying my family. I will never give in. O malicious queen, now abandon your evil desire. I fall helpless at your feet. Come to your senses. Be gracious to me, who has always been your well-wishing protector. And exhausted by grief, Dasara sinks to the floor, his hand stretched out to the feet of his queen. Just think of the humility. He's a powerful Vedic warrior, emperor, world emperor, and just because of his attachment to Ram, he's just begging at her feet of his young wife. He's not henpecked. He's just Ram, Ram, Ram. This is how attached he is to Lord Ram. By this time, Kaikeyi has given up all her affection for her husband. And she saw, still my ends are not achieved. Now she's really convinced of Mantara's vision of the situation. She couldn't accept anything Dasarath said. So she began to cut him even more with her words. Where is your honor now, O king? You claim to adhere to truth. But now we see it's an empty boast. Fulfill my boons as you vowed and protect your fame. Dasarath couldn't answer now. He was unconscious. Dasarath's unconscious. After some time, he came to consciousness and looked at her face. Once again, the same cold expression. He knew. She's not even in the least bit pacified. Not even the least bit. He gave up looking at her face and began to look at the night sky, praying. May the demigoddess in charge of night make it that the night never comes to an end so morning doesn't come. Because when morning comes, he's going to have to tell his dear Ram to go to the forest in exile for 14 years. How could he face the dawn? Have you ever been in situations like that? I don't want dawn to come. How can I face the dawn? The dawn will bring Ram's departure. So he sits weeping, continuously repeating, Ram, 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 Ram. And what does Kaikeyi say? She's untouched by anything. I simply asked you to fulfill your promise, O king. Why do you lie there dejected? The path of morality has been clearly shown by your ancestors. Proceed upon that path now, O truthful one, and send Ram away. She knew her husband's devoted to religion and piety, so she's invoking the codes of morality. Do your duty, O king. I simply urge you to act upon truthfulness. Finally, she stands up amidst her strewn ornaments. Her eyes are flashing as he made her final demand. Three times you promised, and therefore three times I ask you. Make my son king. Send Ram away. This alone will satisfy me and save me from giving up my life after seeing you abandon your honor. She's putting it all on him. Yeah. Not that she's doing anything wrong. No, you are abandoning your honor and not keeping your word by sending Ram away. She just kept the pressure on him. Dasharath couldn't see any way out. He began to control himself. He accepted, this is the way it's going to be. So then he thought, she can no longer be my wife. She is fit to be rejected. Her name should never be associated with mine. No one should call her the Queen of Dasharath again. Now he's speaking fiercely. Oh, perverted woman, here and now I disown you. That hand which I formerly clasped in the sacrificial marriage fire, I reject that hand now. Things are really getting very intense. O woman of evil conduct, you should make no offerings to me, for I fully reject you today. What was Kaikeyi's reaction? What's the big deal? He's already rejected me when he favored Kausalya. So she's told Dasharath, why do you say such scathing and hurtful things, O Marnik? I merely ask that you give me what you've already promised. Summon your son Ram now. Give up this needless agonizing. Do your duty. Stand up for virtue. So, Dasharath is described to have felt like a first-class horse lashed with a whip. So, he had to admit, bound by the strong cords of morality, I am helpless. Bring my gentle son before me. And then he faints, exhausted with grief. Ram is going to come, being summoned by his father. And his father is not going to be able to say a word to him. Ram's going to see his father in complete grief. Dasharath won't say anything, so Kaikeyi will say it for him. Your father is not able to speak now, but I'll tell you what's going on. This is what you have to do. Go to the forest immediately. My son Bharat will be king. What's Ram's reaction? Doesn't bat an eye. Is that all? That was his reaction. Is that all? And he says, why does my father have to be at the point of death because of you forcing him to ask me this? If you, Kaikeyi, had asked me, just coming from you, I would have done it. Why did you have to put my father through all this? I would have done it just on your say-so. This is Ram's character. He didn't bat an eye. Go to the forest for 14 years, not be king? What's the big deal? So this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead showing the opulence of detachment and renunciation in such an inconceivable way. This is just one aspect of Lord Ram's pastimes. Of course, when Ram did start for the forest, he had to take Lakshman and Sita Devi, his wife, with him because they said there's no way they could not go with him. And so Ram and Sita and Lakshman started for the forest. And what happened when they looked over their shoulder as they're about to enter the forest? They saw the whole kingdom following behind them. The whole kingdom said, we're going to go in exile too. that Ram had to send him back. So hopefully you'll get a taste of my hearing pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. Different from Lord Krishna's pastimes. Lord Ramchandra's pastimes are full of opulence and majesty and power. Palatial drama. Whereas Krishna's pastimes in the forest of Vrindavan simply involve the Jamuna River, Govardhan Hill, flowers, trees, the cows. Please remember, there is perfect personality, and that you can see in Lord Ram. That's why Dasharatha Maharaj will die having had to exile Ram to the forest. How could one do this to someone of perfect character, perfect quality, perfect personality? That is the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to have those qualifications. And to be so renounced that, yes, I'll go away. What's the problem? Any questions about Lord Ram? Yes.
And in Dasara, as a close associate of the Lord, must have been a great devotee.
Yes.
So how? What was he actually suffering? Was he in a transcendental mood of suffering also?
He's suffering. Yes, he's suffering. But it's all for Ram. It's not for himself. It's not material suffering. He's not at all concerned about himself. A devotee is simply concerned about the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the definition of being transcendental. Is Lord Ram suffering when he'll be separated from his wife Sita? No, he's enjoying love in separation. What is suffering in this world, separation from your beloved, is pleasure in the spiritual world. Anything else? So in this pastime you can see all the dynamics of human expression. Manipulation, you can see. Envy, jealousy. All fanned into a flame by bad association. Of course, this is Ram Leela, so things are meant to happen in this way for the ultimate pleasure of the Lord. Not even ultimate, immediate and ultimate pleasure.
Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
So is Kaikeyi and Mansara, are they also part of this transcendental leader, in spite of all this apparent badness?
Yes, yes, yes. Still, what they're doing isn't right. And they'll get reactions for it. All right, let us chant a bit.